Good morning, everyone. He is risen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Well, this morning we will conclude our journey through Lent and some of the events from the life of Jesus in the book of John, and we'll look at John's telling of the resurrection. So turn with me, please, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18 this morning. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And we get to see a bunch of different people and how they react to the resurrection of Jesus. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is God's word. On Easter morning, on Sunday morning, the tomb of Jesus Christ was empty. The stone had been rolled away, and the body that had been laid in there on Friday was not there. It hadn't been moved. It hadn't been secreted away. Jesus, who was dead, was now alive. First, we get to see Mary Magdalene at the tomb in verses 1 and 2. Now, Mary had been at the crucifixion. She's incredibly devoted to Jesus. She's not a prostitute. Not that it particularly matters, but we want to, you know, give her due. She is the one who had seven demons cast out of her. There were other prostitutes that Jesus reached out to and saved, and absolutely. But Mary Magdalene had seven demons cast out of her, and she believed and followed Jesus. And she is at the tomb first thing, while it's still dark. So many of us this morning were commenting at the sunrise service. I don't know if it's because of the cloudiness or what, but when we first got there, it was like the darkest we've ever seen. It was so dark. Even with headlights on, I had my high beams on, and I couldn't see where the driveway was and all this. It was just incredibly dark. And that's what it's describing here. Excuse me. As Mary Magdalene gets to the tomb, it's still dark. And as she comes up to the tomb, she does get to see that the stone is rolled away. And that comment is important because we learn that Mary expected the stone to be there. She thought the tomb would be closed. She thought Jesus' body would be there. We learn from other gospel excuse me. Pulling my throat. That's perfect. We learned from other gospel accounts that Mary and some of the other women wanted to go anoint Jesus' body, and they weren't sure how they were going to open the tomb, how they were going to get the stone rolled away. Why is all this important? They expected Jesus to be dead, despite what he had told them. That was what they believed, that he would still be dead. Instead, she finds the tomb empty. And so she runs and tells Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And this is John. We know this when we put together different groups of the disciples when they're together at different times. John, as the author of the Gospel of John, he's actually not bragging by saying, well, I'm the one Jesus loved. He's actually humbly leaving his own name out of it as an act of humility here. And so Peter and John now we see at the tomb. We encounter them at the tomb in verses 3 through 9. It's kind of an interesting little exchange that we have here, right? I don't know. I always find this so interesting that the scripture goes out of the way to say that Peter starts first and then John comes after, but John just runs faster. He's just quicker. This is part of what's led folks to think that John was very young at this time. We also know that he lives very long as he's writing the book of Revelation. It's probably about the year 80 or 90 AD. And so he lived for quite a long time, meaning he was probably very young at the time of when Jesus was on earth. But the two of them run and they get there. And it's interesting to watch their different reactions when they get there. When they arrive at the tomb, John pauses but doesn't go in. He doesn't actually enter the tomb. He just goes and looks into the tomb. Simon Peter then comes up, and he actually goes into the tomb. And what they find there is no body. Jesus is not there. What they find is that there's the linen cloth, the burial cloth, is folded up nicely. There's two parts. Two pieces of cloth, and they're folded up very nicely and very neatly. And one of them is, and they're laid at the various parts of the in the tomb. And that's an important detail, I think, because it tells us these weren't grave robbers. It wasn't someone doing a smash and grab job, right? Come in and grab the body of Jesus quickly and get out of there. This is all done very intentionally. They still do not understand what has happened, but they do know that it has been intentional, not accidental. After Peter goes in and notices the cloth folded and Jesus not there, now John goes in, it says, in this very powerful statement at the end of verse 8, John goes into the tomb And he saw and believed. He saw the body was not there. He saw the linen. What I find interesting here is it's not saying he saw Jesus' resurrected body and therefore believed. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't that seeing is believing in the way of seeing Jesus resurrected led him to believe. Seeing that things were occurring as Jesus foretold, as Jesus promised. Jesus had said that he must die. Jesus said that he must rise again. And John is beginning to believe this. We don't know exactly what his full understanding is here at this point, right? The disciples seem to have a process of coming to full faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes a few steps forward, one step back, and so we don't know what he believes here, but proclaims a belief in what Jesus has said, and therefore in who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Well, next, in verses 10 through 13, we see two angels at the tomb. Mary Magdalene comes back. She's outside weeping at the tomb. And as she weeps, she looks inside and she sees two angels in white sitting there on the stoop where Jesus had been. One at the head and one at the feet. And I think this picture here is first of all, there's, you know, in Old Testament law, you had to have two witnesses to testify as to something being true. It couldn't just be your word against one other person's word. And so they act as the two witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. I think there's probably some picture here of complete testimony from head to foot, you know, kind of the encompassing everything, that they're testifying to the totality of the resurrection of Jesus. They say to her, "Why are you weeping?" And she's so sad. Of course she is. Jesus, whom she loves, not only has she just witnessed him die, now his body is gone. You imagine the confusion. It's when you thought you were so certain of the way life and things were going to unfold and you liked what you saw. When it seemed that you understood God's plan and it made sense and it was good. All that changes in a moment. Imagine that sense of utter disappointment, of fear, of anger, of sorrow, broken heart. In this moment, she's not able, as none of us are in the moment, able to see the end of God's plan. It's so easy to have faith when things are going really well. But when things are going poorly, it gets so confusing. I know God has the power to make this situation better for me. It would be so easy for him. Why isn't he, whatever the situation is? I believe that's one of the reasons why all throughout Scripture, Jesus says, or God says again and again, trust me, trust me, trust me. because in the moment, it's going to be so hard if we look at what we see and what we can understand. And God says, I'm bigger, I have the whole picture, it's all in my hands and my control, and I do love you, and I promise I will bring it all together for your good. As she's talking to the two angels, Jesus comes. Now we get to meet Jesus at the tomb in verses 14 through 17. Mary's not thinking that there's a resurrection. She's not expecting to see Jesus there. Jesus, you know, as she's kind of questioning, thinking he's the gardener, Jesus kind of points her to himself that she would see, that she would believe, that she would know that he is alive. She knows he was dead. She saw him die. And now he is alive and standing there right before her eyes. She cries out in this affectionate, Rabboni, teacher. Now, Jesus says something here that I think has confused a lot of us. In verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. And we think, well, wait a minute, what's going on? Is it in his resurrected body that we're not allowed to touch him? Well, that can't be, right? Because we know Thomas is told in Matthew chapter 28, is told, after Jesus was resurrected and he didn't believe it was Jesus, Jesus said to him, come on, touch me, go ahead. I believe what Jesus is saying here is Mary is like clinging to him, like, I lost you once, don't ever go away again. I'm not going to let you out of my sight ever again. And Jesus is saying to her, I'm really here. You don't have to lock me and hold me up and grasp me. I'm really here. What you're seeing is true. But things have changed. And I'm going to my Father, just as I told you I was. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, just as I told you I was. I can't stay here in human form. That time has ended. Do not try to hold on to the way things were. Finally, then, in verse 18, we see faith at the tomb. Mary Magdalene returns to the disciples and says, I have seen the Lord, and shares all the things that Jesus said to her. Mary wasn't looking for Jesus. She didn't even recognize him when she saw him. When he spoke, her eyes were opened. I do think, I know this should be an obvious statement, but I think that in some of our traditions, it hasn't been an obvious statement. So for some of us, this is going to sound like I'm pandering, and others of you, it's going to sound like no duh. But I think it's worth calling out that Jesus reveals himself to women first. Now, in their legal system, women would not be allowed to be witnesses. They couldn't in a court setting. And so you could imagine a scenario where God would be like, well, I want people to witness and testify that Jesus is alive, so let's show up to the men first. Let's not even worry about the women. But of course, that is not who our God is. He's constantly throughout the scriptures turning upside down these expectations of who is superior and who has authority, and that includes in the gender. He shows up to women first, and he invites Mary into a relationship with himself, the Son of God. Jesus is alive, still today, 2,000 years later, and forevermore. He is alive, and that's great and wonderful news for everyone who surrenders their lives to Jesus. But it also should be concerning, terrifying, for those of us who ignore Jesus. For those of us who don't really care if Jesus is real or not. Or those of us who think of Jesus as like a magic genie. If you rub the lamp and maybe give a little money and pray in the right way, that you'll get what you want. That's not how we respond to the King of Kings. And the King of Kings loves us and invites us into relationship with him by believing in him. Jesus is alive and invites you to come and follow him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have conquered death, died in our place. Oh Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear you, that we would believe in you for eternal life. We praise you. We celebrate that you are risen from the dead. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.